Hello. Hi. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 42nd J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference. Next, we are pleased to introduce the CEO of WuXi Biologics, Chris Chen, to stage to give us a presentation on the company. Welcome.
Thank you, Lin Lin. Yeah. It's really my pleasure to give everyone an update. So as everyone knows, 2023 is a very interesting year. But every time I come to J.P. Morgan, I actually want to reflect, you know, what our industry is facing and what are the trends that's coming to our industry. So BioPlan, some of you know BioPlan is an industry consulting. They actually, every year they collect the data from 200, 300 companies, and they predict what are the trends for our industry. So this is it. They come up with a pick three that's relevant to WuXi Bio. And this, they mentioned top 10 trends, basically, you know, cell and gene therapy, what's going there, and qualified staff, FDA standard, and all that. So three trends are very relevant to WuXi. I highlighted them here. I already go direct straight to the content. So this is how I'm going to be spending my time. I'll give you a business update. I want to specifically highlight microbial as an industry driver, because we, over the past of, during COVID, we actually built microbial capabilities to, for end-to-end. Everything like WuXi Bio. In 4 years, we built a very strong platform, so I'm going to share with you with that. And then, as some of you know, that we spin off XTC, and we still consolidate all the top line still reflected in WuXi Bio's P&L. But I want to share with you, you know, reflect on why WuXi XTC, why I want to do that, and how successful it can be. Every year at J.P. Morgan, I want to highlight our technologies. I think this year, I want to highlight two technologies we believe are transformatory for our industry. One is going to significantly reduce the cost of goods manufacturing. We're going to cut the cost of manufacturing by half by using our continuous processing technology. And we also believe we have a best CD3 antibody for bispecifics. And lastly, every time I want to share with you our ESG progress. So I started already as basically saying BioPlan is an industry consultant that every year they predict what's our industry trend. And I pick three that's relevant to us. What they said is basically CMO is actually is in the right trend, right industry, right trend. BioPlan surveyed 200 companies out there, large pharma, small biotech, medium companies, saying what's our industry trend. So outsourcing will continue, regardless of whether you're small biotech or large pharma. Large pharma actually increasing the outsourcing in R&D and M. So we are in the right industry sector. That's the first one. First trend they identified. Second one actually is a single-use technology. As you know, WuXi bet on single-use technology 10 years ago. We are the global leader. We have been extremely successful with it. And now industry is finally recognizing that. I think BioPlan said single-use technology are accelerating replacement of stainless steel reactors. And then I think it's making a huge impact. As I mentioned earlier, we actually now have a technology to use a single-use reactor to produce the same amount of material as stainless steel and with half of the cost. So I'll share with you, combining single-use reactor with our technology, we actually can truly transform the industry. The reason we want to do that is because we really want to make the biological drugs more affordable for the emerging market. And lastly, the trend that they identified is offshoring, basically CMO to Asia. It really still is a trend that the company has seen. Again, BioPlan, as you know, is an industry consultant, pretty reputable. I think these are the three trends they highlighted. I think this will be basically the trend that we'll see this year and hopefully next year. So as I said to you earlier, 2023 is a very exciting and interesting year for us. It's interesting and exciting. So in Q1, as you know, as those you follow the company, you know the number of new projects we sign is a very good, strong indicator, a leading indicator for our revenue growth. So in Q1 of last year, we signed 8 projects, and by May we have 25 projects. So investor panic, saying, you know, why would you only sign 25 projects? And then by June, we signed about 46. And, you know, Q3 was pretty good, and we signed 61. And Q4 was a tremendous, is the best quarter ever. We actually signed, in Q4, we signed more projects than the first 9 months of the year. So we, you know, last year was very choppy. Again, if you look at this, almost like a roller coaster ride for us, right? So at the beginning of the year, we believe that, you know, our industry, we're going to sign 120 projects. We actually delivered 132. But by May, we guide down the number of projects to 80 because, we, you know, May we only have 25. We said last year, 80 would be good. You know, by June, we signed 46, and by September, by November, we signed 61. So December, we actually, every day, we signed two contracts in December. So somehow the sentiment, you know, sentiment changes dramatically between November and December. And it's also across the board. You know, we have projects signed in London, in Basel, in Shanghai, in New York, in Boston, and in San Francisco. It's across the board, even in China. So if you look at the right side of the chart, the U.S. accounts for 55% of the new projects. Again, basically saying we did see, you know, from this number is a very strong recovery of U.S. biotech. And Europe, 14%. China, amazingly, 25%. The struggle we had in the first half of the year was also because China was really lackluster. You know, the most significant drop in number of projects first half of the year is China, was China. But second half, we actually see the number of projects tripled in second half compared to first half. And that's why China now still accounts for 25% of new projects. So it's very exciting. So as I said earlier, so we see a cross-the-board recovery. We see large pharma, mid-sized biotech, and small biotech. And it's the strongest in U.S., in Europe, in Korea, in Japan. But it's also relatively good in China. But in China, I want to caution you, in China, it's a very small subsegment. It's a company working on ADCs, company working on autoimmune. So not across the board. So I think will remain to be seen how China will perform this year. But again, if you look at this number, it's actually a roller coaster ride for us. I said over and over again last year, you know, we are the last person to fail the code during the biotech downturn. Because, you know, biotech downturn started in November 2021. But we didn't feel the number of projects impacted until Q1 of last year. But we hope we're the first to see the recovery. Now you actually clearly see very, very strong recovery. So my BD head, you know, told me the story almost like in the whole last 12 months, almost like every biotech company is like a plane hovering around the airport. And they don't know when to land. And somehow, November, December, everyone wants to land. And also, they want to land on Wuxi. I think that's a great story. That's a great story. So our market share actually was the highest ever last year. Again, because the pie is much smaller. If you look at, if you exclude COVID, right, you know, the number, we actually achieved record high number of projects last year. That basically means, you know, for this, we have a strong ammunition for growth for second, you know, starting from Q2 of this year, we have a strong ammunition to grow Q2, Q3, and Q4. We'll see, you know, we should really go back to a very strong growth momentum because the number of projects signed already there. I think the other thing I want to also mention, I think China play a huge role in terms of the ADC there. And I think, so again, 2023, looking back, right, I think, you know, we had quite a few events. But now I think we think for us, the weak biotech funding is over. For us, we see a full spectrum recovery in all the territories. And although in China, we still want to see more data. So that's the win the molecule. That's the follow the molecule strategy. We see a record number of projects. Win the molecule will continue to do extremely well. That's also a best year for us. We actually signed 7 phase 3 programs and 2 commercial programs from our partners, from our competitors. So win the molecule continue to be another great year. And this is something you are very familiar with. Now we have the largest funnel ever. So I think the funnel paused a little bit last year. Now we have close to 700 assets. If you look at our phase 3 and commercial combined, now we have 75 projects. This is comparable to industry leader in CMO. You know, we have 51 phase 3 program, 24 commercial program, 75. If you look at our peers, you know, even the large CMO, they have probably 70 to 80 number projects. So but that basically means our CMO revenue will catch up very quickly. So, you know, historically, we are very strong in D. That's why you look at the top of the funnel. It's very heavy. Right? We have 339 programs preclinical, 200 programs in phase 1, 80 programs in phase 2. But I think the phase 3 and commercial will drive the near-term revenue. And for near-term revenue, again, as a pre-indicator for CMO is the number of PPQs you are doing. Basically, you're doing the final process lock, and then you create a data package to submit to FDA, so for FDA approval. So that's a leading indicator of a CMO revenue. So if you think about, you know, back in 2019, we have four. Now 23, we have 2023, we have 35. And next year, we're probably adding another 10. So every year, we're probably adding another 10 CMO projects, 10 projects in PPQ that eventually led to CMO. Our PPQ success rate is also incredibly high. We're looking at 97%. So that's why the company trusts us. When they look at this data, you know, basically, if I give you the project, you know, I'm almost guaranteed it's going to be successful, 97%. Industry leader can do 90%. I think we actually are 97%. And that's a strong early indicator for our future manufacturing revenue. So I think I have given Ireland is really the first global site we are operating right now. It's actually very exciting. We are about a year ahead of schedule in Ireland in terms of business progression. Now we believe Ireland will break even this year. We'll be generating profit for us next year. So just to remind you, we built the whole facility during COVID. And our industry thinks this is one of the best facilities to be built because we received the ISP award. Now we actually, Ireland facility now is 85% booked. You know, we have three factories in here. Two factories are 100% booked. One factory is about another 50-60% booked. So this facility is already 85% booked. We just started manufacturing this year. We have made two batches. We have finished one batch successfully, and we're working on a second batch. So we're just beginning of the operation for this facility. Now, actually, the facility is 85% booked. So I think the playbook that we have for Ireland is transferable, hopefully, to Germany, to U.S., and that basically means our future success of our global capacities. I think we have 700 assets. We have 75 phase three and commercial programs. Because we don't disclose the project, a lot of you know is struggling with how do you model the revenue. But I want to highlight the 20 programs in this 80, in this 75. The 20 programs are very exciting programs that I want to share with you. We have seven programs, hopefully will be mega blockbusters. And our clients believe this will be $2 to $5 billion drugs and even more. You know, we have two bispecifics. We actually have three bispecifics, but two for cancer, one for non-cancer. We have FcRn antibody. We have two ADCs. We have another autoimmune program. Those programs, clients believe this will be a $2 to $5 billion drugs. We have 10 programs that will be a $1 billion drug, actually. You know, our client believe will be, and this includes the Pompe ERT, the cancer antibody, vaccines, biosimilars, and lastly, long-acting HGH. And we have many other programs. So this gives me the confidence saying that, you know, our CMO revenue will be comparable to industry leaders eventually. I think it give us a couple of years. Again, we have those 20 plus a very exciting program. We need time for them to ramp up because right now they are in the early phase. And most of those programs just either get approved right now or still just finishing phase three trial. Being a CMO, quality is hugely important. I'm actually very proud to announce that we have 32 regulatory inspections. So far, we are 100% successful on every inspection. We also have a leading indicator. Every year, we have 200 visits from our clients. Every year, we have a leading indicator for quality. Every year, 200 clients in a company like Lilly, Merck, GSK, AstraZeneca, or Amicus audit us. And this is a track record for in the past 4 years. Back in 2019, every time they come to see us, they find 1.7 issues. Back in 2019, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You know, when they come to see us, whether it's AstraZeneca or GSK or Amicus or a small biotech company in San Francisco, right? They come to audit us, they find 1.7 issues. Now it's 0.55. So basically means every two clients, they can only find one issue. And that's why we believe this is a very strong quality system that set us up for a future success. And we are very proud. We have 32 regulatory inspections. We have no data integrity issue. We have zero data integrity issue so far. This is one of the best track records in our industry. So quality form another strong foundation for our future success. So as I mentioned in the beginning, during COVID, we actually built end-to-end capability for microbials. Microbial is an alternative platform. As you know, 95% of our revenue come from mammalian so far. So microbial is a new segment we are working on. But we built this capacity during COVID in the past 4 years, but we actually progressed very, very fast. Now we have, this year, we have 25 programs already. As you know, microbial, what do they do? Microbial, we can make insulin, we can make GLP, we can make nanobodies for eyes, for cancer. So that's the indicate. That's the target we're working on right now. So we have 25 programs right now. And again, if you look at the, we actually just signed our first commercial project for microbial. This is something I'm very pleased. We invested in the capacity 4 years ago. We signed our first commercial program, our CMO. I think this product is actually one of the best-in-class HGH, and hopefully will become a blockbuster as well. And so, again, in a very brief, you know, 3 or 4 year time frame, we build end-to-end capability for microbial. We can do plasmid DNA. We can do mRNA vaccine. We can do GLP analog. We can do insulin or insulin analog. And those are the projects in the current, in the pipeline already. I think looking at WuXi, you know, we have been incredibly successful in the past 10 years. We believe we always have the right strategy. We have good people to execute. WuXi always focus on technology, technology, technology. I'll share with you the technology we're going to highlight today, right? And we have very good track record in execution. Very strong quality, I mentioned earlier. The speed is always number one at WuXi. You know, when you ask my client what are the first thing they felt, well, WuXi deliver high quality but at the fastest speed in our industry. And lastly, we're very flexible with the client. This is how WuXi have been very successful. We apply the same concept to ADCs, and then in a couple of years we incubate another very good company, WuXi XDC. Right. So again, to go back to the strategy. For XDC, we do everything one-stop shop. We do payload linker, we do antibody, we do conjugation, we do drug product. So if you look at the current ADC supply chain, you have to travel around the world a couple of times, right? You know, thousands of miles. For WuXi XDC, we do anything within 200 meters, basically almost like this building. We can do everything for ADC, right? And we have hired the best people. We are working on technology for conjugation. We are working on technology for manufacturing. We have very strong execution. You know, very strong quality. So everything is reflected in the XTC as well. And that's why XTC had a very successful IPO last year. You know, it's very similar to WuXi Bio. XTC has a number of, you know, more projects than anyone in the space. Revenue-wise, number two globally. We're a dominant leader in China. And we have pretty significant market share globally. I think if you look at the XTC funnel, and it's also very exciting. About almost close to, this is actually last June's number. So close to 100 program is being developed by WuXi XDC. And so again, if you look at the growth of the WuXi XDC in terms of number of clients, we started in 2020 with almost less than 50 clients. Now in 3 years, we actually, number of clients tripled. Because XDC is a subsidiary of WuXi Bio, this time we did everything right. I think when XDC has a strong growth, it's everything. Both the profit and revenue are reflected on the books of WuXi Bio as well. So we remain consolidating. So the only difference between IPO and non-IPO is actually, before IPO, I book 100% revenue, I book 60% of profit. Now after IPO, I book 100% revenue, 50% of the profit. So that's the only difference. So basically, essentially, all the benefit, all the growth from XDC in the ADC field still reflected in the P&L of WuXi Bio. And lastly, I want to clarify here at this podium as well, I think we have very strong corporate governance. Myself, as the chairman of WuXi XDC, I don't receive any compensation from XDC. I think all the WuXi Bio and the WuXi AppTec employee do not receive any option or shares from WuXi XDC. Only full-time WuXi XDC employee are eligible for the compensation from WuXi XDC. But as a chairman, I actually bought shares during the IPO just to, as a support. So I think this is really clear to show WuXi governance. I think myself, as the chairman of WuXi XDC, I only benefited from XDC by WuXi Bio share price, by WuXi Bio shares. I think, as I said earlier, every year I want to highlight with you the technology we're developing. I think this year we have two technologies I want to highlight. One is something that's already proven. Last year, GSK signed a deal with us, a $1 billion deal. GSK wanted us to develop 4 bispecific for them. Using our CD3. And this is actually, you know, we believe this is potentially best-in-class CD3 programs out there to make bispecifics. As you know, bispecifics and ADC actually have very similar target, right? ADC, you're using the chemical payload. Bispecific, you use the body's own payload. You use a T-cell, right? So you use the CD3 to get the T-cell response. So we believe after, you know, we believe the the second hottest area in our space. You know, the hottest is certainly ADCs. The second hottest is actually bispecifics. We believe WuXi has a strong way in bispecific as well. And as you know, in the past 10 years, we have been working on technologies to transform biomanufacturing. We want to use the continuous process to improve productivity. Finally, we launched our third generation process called WuXi UI, ultra intensified process. What does that mean? It means per liter volume, now we can get 5 times the productivity of a traditional batch process. So our highest productivity titer we got is actually about 30 grams per liter or 40 grams per liter. So what it means for this technology, what it means is for my 4K bioreactor, I can produce the same amount of someone else's 20K reactor. My 4K is equivalent to someone else's 20K. My 2K is equivalent to someone else's 10K. And that's the technology input that we have. And it's amazing. I think we just launched the technology in November. We already have the first client sign up for it because they want to really use this technology to reduce the cost of goods by half. I think our industry has a long debate on disposable versus stainless steel. As I mentioned in the beginning, disposable is actually majority of the technologies that companies use. Majority of companies pick disposable now instead of stainless steel. If you compare a single disposable versus a single stainless steel, large stainless steel, it's not an apple-to-apple comparison. Certainly, disposable is more expensive because disposable, largest one, is 6K right now. But stainless steel, you can go to 12K or 20K. But if you multi-pack them, if I have a 2K reactor or someone else 12K, it's equivalent. You know, at WuXi, we can actually do it 10% cheaper. Because I use less water, my facility's footprint is smaller, I actually can change over much faster. So disposable can actually, even apple-to-apple comparison, can make biologics cheaper. If you apply the technologies we use, if you apply our WuXi Up, the technology we launched about 4 or 5 years ago, we can get 20-30% cheaper. And if you use the technology we launched last month, 2 months ago, you can actually get 50% cheaper. So I think this is very meaningful for emerging market. So with this technology, I can make PD-1 as close as $500 a year. The cost of PD-1 treatment for patient is $500 a year. $500 a year for PD-1 treatment. I think that's how this technology can change our at least the affordability of biologics in the emerging country. That's something we're very passionate about. And certainly we can help, you know, if you have a project that's very cost sensitive, and if you have a project that's a replacement of plasma industry, right? If you are using recombinant to replace plasma, you have to compete with plasma industry cost of goods. This technology is there to help you. I think lastly, I still want to give you an ESG update. I think we're very pleased. Now we're actually part of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. And this is actually very, very hard, very premier index. And only the best company in our space, in our sector, can get in. They consider us number one in this sector and identify us as a global sustainability leader. I think, as you know, you guys know the significance of this. We're also very pleased to say that we actually received MSCI AAA ratings. I think, you know, we started with A 3 or 4 years ago. We had double A last year, and this year was triple A. So it's incredible progress. And the whole community recognized us as the ESG leader. Because of our corporate governance, because of our talent development, because of our quality, because of our serving the global market, because of our sustainability efforts. So EcoVadis is a pharma consortium, like a company like Pfizer, Merck, BI, AstraZeneca, GSK. They come together saying, I want to have a standard ESG requirements. It's called, the consortium is called EcoVadis. We actually rank also top 1% in that section. So I think we're very pleased with our ESG progress. I think every one of you familiar with the CRDMO model. I think 2023, as I said, was a challenging year. We actually ended the year with a high note. But if you look at our business model, our business fundamentals are incredibly strong. Our business model remains the strongest in the industry, right? I think we just announced that we had a collaboration with BioNTech. We helped BioNTech develop two novel antibodies, and that's our R, right? So our R continues to be very unique. We use our IP to help companies like BioNTech, like GSK, develop their portfolio. And as a result, we get royalties, milestone payment, and so we have $6 billion milestone payment. We have 50 programs with royalties, and royalties becoming significant in the next couple of years. And D, we are the strongest in this community. Last year, our market share actually exceeded 50%. And we added 132 projects last year. And this year, we believe we'll continue to add another 110 projects. You know, previously, last year, we were guiding 80 projects this year. Now we raise the guidance from 80 to 110. I think, you know, this new project will give us about $1 billion revenue every year. And that's give us a sustainable growth. We have very sticky business. Our R will lead to D, our D will lead to M. So in summary, I want to highlight 2023. I think biotech funding, especially the weak biotech funding in China, hurt us pretty badly in Q1. But we see a very strong recovery in Q2, Q3, and Q4. You know, we already seen across the board recovery as well in US, in Europe, in Japan, in Korea, and in China. So that's why we signed a record high number of projects. We have win the molecule strategy also worked very well. We actually signed 9 win the molecule projects, 7 phase 3, 2 commercial. We have 24 CMO projects right now. If you add phase 3 and commercial combined, we're getting to 75 projects. And that's going to be a good indication for our future CMO revenue. I think I want to highlight again WuXi UI, ultra intensified process that can reduce the cost of goods biomanufacturing by half. I think, you know, certainly WuXi will benefit from that as well. And then microbial business is a new business that we invested in the past 4 years. Now it's growing significantly. And we have one commercial project that hopefully will give us a very strong revenue. So, 2023, we see a weak first half or weak Q1. We see a very strong recovery and rebound in Q4. So, as a result, we will start see accelerating growth in Q1, Q2 of this year. And the Q1 and the Q2 were still impacted a little bit by Q1 and Q2 of last year. But Q2 and Q3 will start to see accelerated growth. So we're very positive in terms of outlook for second half of 2024 and then for 2025. Again, with the 75 project in phase 3 and commercial, I think definitely this will be, the CMO will become a bigger and bigger part of our revenue. And lastly, you know, we have been always betting the sector right. We have very strong investment in ADCs. We have very strong investment in bispecifics. Now we're investing in microbials. In the meantime, we are working on our own lean manufacturing called WBS, a WuXi Business System, WBS, and also the digital and automation to improve our overall efficiency. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Chris, for the presentation. I guess now we'll open up the floor for questions, if any. Just a reminder, you can also submit your questions online for those who are watching the webcast online. Maybe I'll propose one question. So, Chris, we saw a strong rebound in the new projects signing for the fourth quarter of last year. And you talked about there's a specific subsector for the China new project. Can you elaborate for the rest of the world, especially for the U.S., who, you know, accounts for more than half of the new projects?
Yeah, for U.S., Europe, and Japan and Korea, we actually see excitement. I think the reason we have such an exciting Q4 is actually we have been engaging with these clients, year long. Again, you know, in June time, when we talk to them, they probably say, maybe wait for a couple months. I'm not sure whether we want to do it now. But in November, December time, suddenly the sentiment change. Maybe because either the funding is improving or they feel like they really need to start the I think we are enabler. If they have money, work with us, their company value will increase. Because, you know, if they have money, if they can keep the cash but don't move the project, the company doesn't add value. So I think maybe November, December timeframe, suddenly the mindset changed from my clients. I think that's why my team said the sales cycle is going to be a little bit longer. But overall, it's still like all the airplanes hovering around the airport, and suddenly they need to land. And somehow they want to land before Christmas. I think that's why December is incredibly busy for us. So every day, we sign 2 projects. And that's how how crazy it has been. It was the best ever Q4. It was best ever December. We also, as I said earlier, we have clients from London, from Basel, from Munich, from San Francisco, from Boston, from Shanghai, Japan and Korea. So December, we actually signed, almost every country signed new projects.
And I saw a gentleman raising up questions.
Chris, great presentation. Just as you were landing all the planes, pricing. You know, there's a lot of industry talk about all the capacity coming online. What are you seeing with pricing?
That's a great question. Yeah, I didn't mean the pricing was actually we didn't use any incentive. We didn't use the pricing as a lever at all to sign these projects globally. Globally, pricing is still very stable. Yeah. We just starting this month, we're actually increasing pricing by 5% for across the board for our clients.
Yeah. I saw there is a lady back there who has a question.
Hi, Chris. I actually have a quick follow-up on the pricing. How would you comment on the trend in China versus globally when it comes to pricing? Because we know there are a lot of local players in China going very aggressively after a lot of the orders you're signing now. Yeah.
In China, there are two words. There are wuxi, there are non-wuxi. So because the company that can afford, because wuxi is a premium pricing. We have the same pricing. For if you are AZ, you come to us, versus a biotech, you come to us, it's the same pricing. So I cannot say, there's a China pricing. So because of that, only the premier companies in China can afford our services. And as a result, there is a natural selection. So the companies that work with us, they end up having very good assets, and then they end up licensing the program to BioNTech, to AstraZeneca, to BMS, to Merck. I think I didn't mention this. In the past 18 months, you probably see a wave of the global deals, right? And 80% of the CMO program, 80% of the licensure programs behind them, Wuxi is the platform. I think so. You clearly see a Wuxi-based, Wuxi-supported companies or Wuxi-enabled companies versus non-Wuxi-enabled companies. So it's 80% versus about 5%. So I think that actually become my marketing campaign. If you work with Wuxi, you can partner with a large pharma. If you don't work with Wuxi, you only have 5% chance, right? I think, and our pricing premium is about 50 to 100% to compare to peers in China. And that's really the value, right? 80% probability working with large pharma and 5%. Actually, I want to share with you, even this week, there are a lot of announcements. A lot of them actually behind them, Wuxi is a CMC leader. Wuxi is an enabler. Large pharma didn't even do due diligence. So we were announced they're going to do due diligence. Actually, large pharma said, I know Wuxi, we'll just pass. So that's the Wuxi brand. So if you regardless of whether you're in Basel or you are in San Francisco, if you work with Wuxi, right? And I think, when you license your asset to large pharma trust him, because all the large pharma are my clients. And also, I'm also very pleased to report large pharma now account for 50% of my revenue, 50%. So when we IPO, it's 10, 20%. Now large pharma is 50%, because large pharma keep gobbling up new biotech companies. So I think that's the Wuxi brand, that's the Wuxi value. So when you work with us, the incredible delivery that we give to you. So we assure almost 100% success. And secondly, when large pharma look at due diligence, there's no issue. It happened, especially during COVID, there are so many deals. Large pharma, even if you want to do due diligence, you could not, right? It's all remote. So large pharma actually waived most of the due diligence. Every time I go visit large pharma, I was joking. Next time when you buy a company, 60% chance is Wuxi. 60% chance is Wuxi. Yeah. It has been true.
We have a question online. Can you explain in more detail how single-use technology is 50% cheaper than stainless steel? And, if this is still the case for the island.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconception about the disposable versus disposable being more expensive than stainless steel. Because stainless steel, right, you don't use the bag. But the bag component, right? We pay Simon Fisher, we pay Danaher, very expensive bags. But the bags from every bag, let's use a 12,000-liter bag. The bag costs, let's say, $100,000. But I use a lot less water. If you think about a reactor, you have to clean it so many times to make it clean. The water that you use to clean it is that costs $2 or $3 a liter, Right? It's a water you can inject into your vein. It's called water for injection. Right? Because it's water for injection, it's very expensive. The water is actually cost $2 to $3 a liter. And you wash it crazy. And because you wash it, you also need to prepare the water. You have to send it to the area. And so actually, there's a lot of costs you don't know for stainless steel. I think, I don't know how many engineers you have in there. There's a gasket if you have a fermenter, you have maybe 200 gaskets. Each gasket is $50 to $100. When you throw away the gasket, it's a lot of money as well. So with the disposal, you have a much smaller footprint, much smaller water steel, much smaller footprint of the facility, much less piping to send the water over. So because of that, actually, the cost is actually lower. So your CapEx is lower, your OpEx is a bit higher. So it's a balance in that sense. It's a balance of CapEx versus OpEx. So your operational CapEx, as I said earlier, every batch, you use $100,000 more bags, but you're compensated by less water, by less CapEx, and by being able to do more batches, by also higher success rate. So with disposable, now I can do 98% success rate. And if you have a stainless steel, our industry best track record is about 95%. So basically, if I make 100 batches, I can have 98 batches successful. If I use stainless steel, maybe 95. So that 3 batch actually make a huge difference. Because if you lose 3 batch, you have our net profit is only 25%. If you lose 3 batch, you have to make 12 batches to compensate. Right? So you're making 12 batch, that profit from that 12 batch just compensate the gap between the success rate. Again, that's 12% of the batches. Right? So it's not that obvious, but we have been doing disposable for 10 years. We know disposable actually is cheaper. But now with the technology, coupled with our new technology, now it's obvious. Right? We want to cut the cost by half. Right? So if you want $20 per gram or $50 per gram, this is a technology that can give you that.
Thank you, Chris, for a great presentation. And I have just a small question about the U.S. You have adding the capacity, manufacturing capacity, 2 days ago in U.S. Would you please give more color on that?
We see a lot more demand in U.S. for, as you know, the U.S. government wanted to do more onshoring. We are part of the effort to support that as well. That's why we actually invest more in U.S. To be closer to the customer. So we have we have strategy. We invest in Ireland, invest in Germany, invest in Singapore, and U.S. This way, we have a global diversified network, really. And, I think that basically, if you want, for every one of my clients, they can have a choice. They can go to which city in China, or they can go to Ireland, or they can go to Germany, or they can come to U.S. So give them a lot more option.
Go ahead.
Do you have any plans to expand into bioprocessing tools, through either M&A or internal development to, kind of more of the thermal model?
I'm focusing on the things we do well. I think the CRDMO keep me busy already. I think we invested in a couple of small companies in China as a business continuity plan, but I don't think that's going to be our major focus.
One question from online. None of the other big CDMOs have talked about the snapback of the projects in Q4 last year, to the extent you did. Do you see that more of, an industry-wide willingness to put more projects forward, or that's more of a share gain from WuXi Biologics?
I think it's probably. I think it's both. We are definitely gaining market share, but I think the pie is also getting bigger. So the pie first half of the year versus the second half is probably very different.
So you do see a turnover for the biotechnology industry funding coming back.
We do. That's why I said the client sentiment is changing. This week we are meeting 80 clients in at the Hilton. Mm. I think everyone's mood is much better than the last June when we talked to them. So during bio, right? So I think that somehow, between the November and December, there's something magic happened. Our client are more comfortable of signing the check, right? Essentially.
Okay, I think our time is up here. Thanks, Chris, for the great presentation, and thanks everyone.
Thanks so much, Lin-Ning. Thank you.